Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local, live, sometimes, always show that's all about the issues of aging. I'm glad to have you with us. I'm Bob Scrivano. Been doing this for 21 years right here on KFBK, California's longest running show on the issues of aging. The authoritative voice on the issues of aging. I don't care what else you hear somewhere else. Don't believe it until you check it out here. I've been doing this longer than anybody else. I've been doing it, I think, in a really good way for a long time. I think I've helped families save almost $100 million that they would have lost. I know I've saved people from Medi-Cal estate recoveries. I know I've preserved assets for families all over California. And we're going to talk about something today that's going to help you and your family as we get back to basics here, make sure that you don't lose everything to the cost of long-term care. Glad to have you with us. Let me get some housekeeping out of the way. Remember, my name is Bob Scrivano. I'm your host. I have been for a long time. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, get some from an attorney who knows what they're doing, and there's some that do, and there's some that don't when it comes to long-term care. Believe me, I have seen both sides of that coin. This is my opinion only, but just because somebody went to law school doesn't mean they understand long-term care planning. Doesn't mean they understand the difference between estate planning and long-term care planning. I don't care who they are. That's even true of LDAs. I'm an LDA. I'm a legal document assistant. I'm licensed to prepare legal documents in California at your direction and request. There are lots of LDAs who don't know anything about trusts. They try to do them, and some of them are not very good. There's all kinds of stuff you can get online doing documents. You can buy a package. You can get a book with tear-out pages, and you just fill in the pages. When it comes to long-term care planning, nothing is more important than documents. And for 35 years, I've been looking at really good documents and really bad documents. And it has a tremendous impact on families, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So remember, I'm not an attorney. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only. My opinion is quite often the correct opinion. I have a California insurance license, just renewed it. Doesn't have anything to do with anything, but I have to tell you that because I might secretly be trying to sell you insurance. Let's see what else. I'm a notary. I'm a legal document assistant. My license is recorded in Sacramento County, California. License number 2004-05. I don't know. I can snake a drain, but I can't change your spark plugs. I'm too old to do that now. How many of you are old enough to remember, like me, when you could tune up a car in about a half an hour? That's not true anymore, is it? Today's cars are amazing. What else? I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be. I've probably forgotten something else, but just remember, everything we talk about here is my opinion only. Now, for more information, you should always listen to this show, by the way, with a pencil and paper. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/assetsandaging. I do a Facebook live video at least once a week, sometimes more. You can follow me there. You can get information there. By the way, when you go to my website, you can listen to my past radio shows. You can read my blogs. You can become a subscriber and have access to 20 to 25 videotapes on different subjects and information and how to hold a family conference and all kinds of stuff. So you can sign up for my membership, listen to my podcast. That's also on my website. Listen to my podcast every Wednesday. And don't forget, coming up on June the 23rd and or July the 7th. Right now, I think June the 23rd is the one up on my website. I will be doing a webinar. And it's going to be on the subject that we're going to talk about today, because it's an important subject. And the subject we're going to talk about today is how to hold the important conversation with mom and dad. How to hold the important conversation with mom and dad. And I'll be talking about that on my webinar. Again, my webinar is June the 23rd. That's a Tuesday, I believe, at 6 o'clock p.m. Lasts about 45 minutes. It's free. How do you sign up? You go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. Okay, what else do I need to tell you? Oh, and don't forget, my phone number, as always, is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Okay, here we go. Let me start with this. As of the date of this show, this could change, but you'll get the idea here. There were about 118,000 people who had died of coronavirus in the United States. Now listen to the next thing I'm going to tell you. Over 50,000 of them died in care homes. They were seniors who died in care homes. Just let that sink in for a minute. Nobody's talking about it. This was an article in the Wall Street Journal. Again, I've told you 1,000 years now, the only newspaper that covers these issues is the Wall Street Journal. Period. Other people may put in some blurb or some, I don't know, once every, a year. But the Wall Street Journal is the only one who has covered long-term care issues. And in an article on June 16th, just a couple days ago, by John Camp and Anna Wild Matthews, over 500,000. By the way, that's not full reporting, because we don't know that every state hasn't reported. That's nursing homes, assisted living, boarding cares, 500,000. Now, if you take that number away from 116,000, you have a better look at how many people have died in the United States when you realize that 50,000 of them died in care homes. I don't know what to tell you. And there's lots of reasons why. And remember, care homes are not controlled by the feds. They're controlled by state governments. And I can go through the article and I can hit on lots of things. But I just wanted to point out, and nursing homes are, families can't visit in a lot of them. We're talking about our most vulnerable people, and they've become the flashpoint of all of this. And if you haven't followed it, you're just not paying attention. And a lot of it was governors of states who, because they thought hospitals were going to be overrun — hospitals were never overrun, by the way. Emergency rooms were never overrun. We didn't run out of ventilators. We didn't run out of all that kind of stuff. They transferred patients from hospitals into nursing homes, and that caused an explosion. We've been fairly lucky here in California, although there have been several large outbreaks, but we've been fairly lucky, basically because I think nursing homes have tried to do a better job. But remember, the model for nursing homes is 50, 60 years old. Even hospitals have gone to private rooms now. Nursing homes will still stack up to 4 people per room. 2 is common, 3 a little less so, and 4 not so common, but happens all the time. And when you jam that many people close to each other, and then their families coming in, and then nurses coming in who go home every night, or care workers, or janitors, or whoever, and who go home every night to wherever they go home to, and then come back the next day, you have a recipe for disaster. So being prepared for the issues of long-term care is more important than it's ever been, ever. Okay, now I want to get to my subject. And my subject is having the difficult, hard decision with mom and dad. And this was preempted. Let me tell you where this, I've talked about this before, but I was reminded of it again watching an episode of Elementary. Now, we're going through reruns because we watched it originally. Elementary, I don't know what it's on. I can't remember what it's on. We're watching it on Amazon because we're watching reruns. Elementary is a takeoff on Sherlock Holmes. It happens in New York, and Holmes is played by, Johnny Lee Miller, and Watson, Dr. Watson, is played by Lucy Liu, and my wife and I like it a lot. It's kind of fun. It's well done. It's just, you know, some of the scenarios are, you know, improbable, but it's fun. Well, I hadn't noticed this the first time around. We watched it a couple of years ago, but in one of the episodes, they're talking about the fact that Joan Watson, Dr. Watson, her mother has Alzheimer's. And it's early onset Alzheimer's, and some days she has good days, and some days she can't remember that the restaurant they were going to go to is closed. So Watson and Holmes are having a discussion. I'm going somewhere with this, and I want you to listen to what I'm about to read to you. And it has to do with my subject for the day, which is having the hard discussion with mom and dad, or the difficult discussion. In fact, my last Facebook Live video was about this, so you can go look that up on Facebook. Facebook.com/assetsandaging. So anyhow, they're talking about this, and Dr. Watson doesn't know what to do, even though she's a doctor, because it's her mom, and there's guilt involved, and there's struggles involved. And Holmes looks at her and says the following. And I want you to listen to this. And here's what he says. Because Watson is guilt-ridden and trying to figure out how she's going to tell her mom and how she's going to deal with her mom, understanding that she can't, there's no way that she can ever talk to her mom about this. And Holmes says the following to her. Now listen to this. You can't ask someone to hand over the keys to their life. You have to demand them. Your mother's not going to like the news, but at least she's going to hear it from someone she loves. Let me read that to you again. You can't ask someone to hand over the keys to their life. You have to demand them. Your mother's not going to like the news, but at least she's going to hear it from someone she loves. I heard that, and I had to go back and listen to it about 6 times. I copied it down because I thought it was brilliant. I've been saying this for years, but the way it was said was brilliant. I talk to families all the time. I talk to families all the time who are, you know, mom or dad or grammy or grampy or somebody is starting to lose it, is starting to fail. And the family is really having a difficult time talking to mom or dad because mom or dad are going, well, you know, I'm not so bad. Dad's not so bad. Mom's not so bad. Grammy's okay. She's not so bad. And everything is left there. There's lots of dynamics at play here, inner family dynamics, guilt dynamics, depression, past, you know, whatever it is, the things that happen in people's lives, family dynamics. But one of the things that I've learned over the years is that too often we defer to the ill person. I have sat in my office more than once talking to a family, and one of the parents clearly has dementia at some level. I'm not a doctor, but I've been doing this a long time, folks. It's not hard to recognize the signs. And we'll talk about something, and I'll say to the family, well, what do you think about that, whatever that is? And they will invariably look at the person with dementia and say, Dad, let's say it's Dad. Dad, what do you think? They're asking Dad's permission to take away the keys to the car. How many of you have ever been faced with a loved one who shouldn't be driving anymore? I don't know. How many of you have? It's hard, isn't it? I can't tell you how, especially if it's a guy. Oh my gosh, guys are the worst. I mean, families struggle with this all the time, folks. I'm telling you, all the time families struggle with this. Trying to deal with a mom or a dad or a Grammy or a Grampy or whoever it is that shouldn't be driving anymore. Well, what if you were asking for the keys to somebody's life and saying, "Mom, Dad, I'm going to have to make this. We need to make this decision. Mom, Dad is losing it. We have to make this decision because this is not good for you. I know, but I can handle it." "No, Mom, you can't handle it. Dad has dementia. Dad has sundowners. Dad can't get out of bed. Dad thinks the bathroom is in the living room. Dad thinks whatever." I have a handout I've used for years called How to Hold a Family Conference, or Holding a Family Conference. And I haven't altered it much over the years because the core of it is the same. You can't ask someone for the keys to their life. You have to demand them. And they need to hear it from someone that they love. Remember, deciding that dad can't stay at home anymore is not because you don't love dad and mom. It's because you do love dad and mom. If you didn't love them, you could just put them out on the street corner and ask Uber to come and get them. The fact that you love them is what makes this really difficult. Unbelievably difficult. Are you willing to have the hard conversation with the family? Here's maybe one of the children is taking advantage of mom and dad, and the other children don't want to. I have there's one of those that just recently happened in my work, where we have one child taking advantage. In fact, I've seen it twice in the last month. One child trying to take a care of, trying to take advantage of one of the parents, and the other children not wanting to interfere because it'll upset mom and dad. And I just sit there with my chin down going, "When are you going to take responsibility for this? When are you going to have the hard conversation with mom and dad?" We've all had to do it. I had to do it in my own family several times with parents and grandparents. So when having the this conversation is about having the hard conversation with mom and dad. And mom and dad, it's having the hard conversation with your children. It's sitting down with your children and saying, "Pops isn't doing so well anymore." Every family has to be on the same page with this stuff. My wife and I are getting a little older. I still feel pretty good. She feels pretty good. She plays golf a lot. But we both are getting older. One of the things we've both done is we've both told our children, you need to pay attention to us. You need to tell us when you see things that we don't see." Our children have not only been given permission, they've been tasked with letting us know when we start to lose it, or when we think we can take care of ourselves, but we really can't take care of ourselves. We've had this conversation on more than one occasion over the years, because it's really important. And families that aren't sitting down and talking about this, and make my kids know where all the documents are. They know what they say. They have copies of everything. They have to. We've had the hard conversation and we continue to have it. We have that conversation at least once a year. What do you think? We still doing okay? We're talking to each other. My wife and I talk to each other about it all the time. We include the kids in all those decisions because who more do I want to take care of me than my children who I love and who I know love me? Or do I want it to be a stranger? It's a really important topic, folks. It's a really important topic. When I come back, we're going to talk about it a little bit. We're going to talk about it a little bit more, and I'm going to give you an outline for how to hold a family conference and how to do this and how to make sure your documents are correct and up to date and making sure all of that's important. Not only important, but all of it's done. I think there's no more important conversation that I can have with you is that you have this conversation with your children. If you don't have children, and I'll address that in the next half hour, then you have a whole nother set of issues. You have a whole nother set of issues. And you better be prepared to have the conversation with somebody, with me. But you have to understand that having a difficult conversation with mom and dad or grandma and grandpa is important. How many of you have one parent right now failing, and how many of you have sat down as a family and had a conversation with the well parent and the children about what your plans are to deal with dad or mom or grammy or grampy? Well, Bob, that makes us really uncomfortable. I mean, you know, it's our parents. We can't have that. You have to have that conversation. Do you not understand? You have to. And parents, you have to let your kids into this. Well, you know, I don't like being a burden on my children. And okay, so you'd rather have a stranger take care of you the rest of your life. Oh, no. Then have you given your children the tools to take care of you the rest of your life? I just had somebody leave my office, and we've put together all the tools that the family's going to need, including not only all the children, but some of the grandchildren, so that they're going to be able to take care of mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa, as the case might be. They're now equipped to do this, and all of them collectively have been able to exhale. They've all gone, oh, wow, this is, oh, wow. Now we can take it wherever it comes. Whatever happens, we're prepared. We know what's coming. We know what to do. And we've been empowered to do it. We've had this discussion, and we've had it openly as a family, and we're just relieved. We feel so good about this. And we got some help for dad. And it's made a huge difference in mom. Because taking care of dad was hurting mom. And so we've been able to get them some help so that it helps mom. And the family is so grateful, and they've been able to exhale because they've been holding their breath waiting for the next calamity, the next disaster to happen. How many of you that I'm talking about to know about are in that situation? Come on, admit it. I know everybody wants to believe it's all okay. It's all okay. No, it's not. Every family's going to deal with this. My family's going to deal with it. Your family's going to deal with it. Everyone is going to deal with the issues of aging. There is no way to escape it. I'll guarantee you, of the 50,000 people that have died in care homes, most of them were unprepared. Most of them never thought it would happen, but it happened. And now they're going to deal with the fallout from all of this for years and years and years and years. They're just going to deal with it. You can be in denial. I've seen a lot of that. I just saw one last week where with family, children, is in complete denial about what's going on. Or you can face this head on and say, wait a minute, let's deal with this. There's tools out there. We can deal with this. We're listening to someone who knows how to deal with this. We can make a difference in our mom and dad's or grammy and grampy's life. We can make a difference in our family. Somebody, please take the leadership in your family to begin the process of making sure that you're ready when this day comes. Because it's going to come. We are all going to get older. We are all going to become more frail. We are all, I said all in my deep radio voice, we are all going to be confronted with this at some point in our life. During the break, go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and sign up for my free webinar. My free upcoming webinar on June the 23rd. That's a Tuesday at 6 o'clock. It's free. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and sign up. Cruise around there. Look at my videos. Look at my blogs. Go to Facebook Live and look at my videos. begin to educate yourself, and then contact me on my webpage, or just call me, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Are you prepared to have the hard conversation with mom and dad? Are you ready for that? Are you the family member that's going to lead, or are you just going to hope it all works out? I'll be back in just a few minutes for more of Assets and Aging. We're going to continue along this line, and we're going to talk about how to hold a family conference. Don't go away. We'll see you back here in just a few minutes, right here on KFBK and Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. So glad to have you with me. We're talking today about how to hold the difficult conversation with mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa. I'm focusing on mom and dad. How do we ask someone for the keys to their life? And I've talked about this before, and I want to repeat this. This was brought home to me again by watching a TV show called Elementary, and there was a discussion about mom had, I like the show, my wife likes the show, we were watching some reruns, as lots of you are. And anyhow, Dr. Watson's mom had an Alzheimer's early onset, and they were talking about what to do. And Holmes said this to her, and again, I repeat this, this is not my words, but it's become my words. You can't ask someone to hand over the keys to their life. You have to demand them. Your mother's not going to like the news, but at least she's going to hear it from someone she loves. So the issue is, are you willing to hold the difficult conversation with mom and dad? Is somebody beginning to fail? Is someone beginning to have a difficult time? So I have a little document I put together years ago. And I've updated it over the years. It probably needs some updating again. But because I have so much stuff, folks. I literally have feet stacked up full of stuff relating to the issues of aging. That's why I said there's nobody out there who does the kind of research that I do on this stuff. But I want to talk today about, you know, we're talking about holding the difficult conversation with mom and dad. And part of that is holding a family conference. And you have to be willing to do that. As I said, my family and I, we talk about this all the time. All the time. My kids are trained to call and just check up once in a while. And to see how we're doing and to see if we're struggling mentally or emotionally or whatever. It's because who do I want taking care of me other than my children? I raised them to be responsible. They're the ones I trust. It's amazing to me how many people say to me, well, we don't want to be a burden on our children. Well, then what did you have them for? What did you raise them for? What did you teach them to be responsible for? I don't understand that way of thinking, but it's not uncommon. And the same thing with children who say, well, you know, we don't want to interfere in mom and dad's life. Why? Who better to take care of them? Who better to notice them? Who better to be honest with them about what they see and observe? Because no matter how much you try, you're going to get older and you're going to become more frail. I used to be a 2 handicapper in golf. I played golf at a high level with persimmon clubs, folks. I have 3 hole-in-ones. I used to be able to hit a golf ball a really long way. I used to be able to hit the ball left to right, right to left, low, high, whatever it was. I wasn't a professional, but a 2 handicap means I could play. I can't do that anymore. I don't even have a handicap anymore because I can't play often enough. And secondly, I can't hit a golf ball that far anymore, and I can't do what I want to do because I've lost flexibility. I have 2 artificial knees, all those kinds of things have changed. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. So you can pretend that all of this is not getting worse. You cannot defeat the issues of aging. You can pretend you can. And I found over the years the best way to deal with it is to deal with it as a family. So here's my sample agenda for a family conference. Okay? Our goal is always to, you know, everybody wants to stay where it's warm and safe and comfortable and bright. Everybody wants that. But we don't know what life is going to give us. We don't know. Sometimes you get the sticky end of the lollipop. Sometimes it all goes well. Let me tell you a story from my own life, why family conferences are so important. Years ago, by accident, someday I'll tell you the whole story, but it would take a long time. My doctor discovered that I had a mass of unknown origin on my kidney. And he went, okay, let's do this and let's do this, and we have to get you to somebody. And I went to the surgeon, the urologist, and they said, well, it looks to us like it's a renal cell carcinoma, which isn't good, by the way, folks. And so we planned the surgery. And before we planned the surgery, we sat down as a family and we talked about the possible outcomes. At that point, none of which were good. It was pretty much going to be terminal. It was a matter of how long they could extend my life. We began to make all the plans for what we wanted and what would happen and what we wanted to do and all that kind of stuff. And we were as prepared as we could be as a family. Then I went in and I had the surgery. And I was, I'm not going to tell you the doctor of the hospital, but it doesn't matter. But they did a great job. And I'm getting ready to leave the hospital. I'm still on a lot of painkillers. If you haven't had abdominal surgery, it's a lot of fun. And I'm literally in bed getting ready to get checked out. I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. And the surgeon walks in his scrubs, just come out of surgery. And he walks in and his opening words, my wife and I will remember this for as long as we live. And one of our sons was there too. And what he said was, I never have good news. And then he told us that the tumor was benign. It was big, but it was benign. They had to remove the kidney. I had one kidney. I would probably have a nice life, and I have. And my wife and I drove home in absolute silence, followed by my son in another car. And the reason for that was we had made plans in one direction, and in one microsecond, they'd all changed. Now, they had changed for the better, but we had to now redo our life's plan because we were making plans around one set of circumstances. We sat down when we got home within a couple days after I was coherent again and the drugs had worn off and all, you know, all that stuff. We had a family conference. And we said, okay, everything has changed. We're going, here's where we're going, and here's what I have to do, and blah, 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 blah. And here I am however many years later, and I'm still on the radio and still going. If you think you had a plan 5 years ago, I'll guarantee you your plan has probably changed. If you had a plan 10 years ago, I can guarantee you your plan has probably changed because life events will have changed. One of the reasons I like doing what I do and why I think I'm good at it is I've been through all of this stuff. All the things I talk about, I've done. I've been there. I've done it. I've been through it. I think I bring something to the table when I talk about it. You can go talk to somebody, who's going to charge you $20,000 to do whatever, but then you say, well, but have you been through all this? Well, I can't believe the number of people who go to people just because It appears their credentials look good, but they have no life experience with this stuff. Do you know how many nursing homes I've been in, folks? Do you know how many people I've seen with dementia? Do you know how many people I've seen are really sick? Do you know how many people I've seen die? I don't say all that to brag, but to know that when I talk about this stuff, I bring a certain level of life experience with it. So having a family conference is great, and then you have to take the most important step of all. You have to act. You have to take the keys to the car and say, okay, we're, you know, as a family, we're going to run this together. We're going to do this together. But you have to act. It's great that you have a conference. Oh, that's great. I'm glad you're, oh man, I'm glad you're having a family conference. Now what are you going to do with it? Do you have an outline? Did you talk about all that? What if it's a blended family? What if you've got his kids and her kids? What if you've got his money and her money? What if she has all the money and he doesn't have any money? What if she has kids and he doesn't have any kids? But yet he survives. Have you talked about all that stuff? Or is everybody just hoping it's all going to turn out okay? So what documents do you have? How old are they? Do your kids know what they are? Do they have copies of them? Has your life changed since you did them? Has one of your children died? Is one of your children sick? Has one of your grandchildren developed a special need? Are they old documents? Are they pre-HIPAA? Do you have springing powers of attorney, non-springing powers of attorney? You go figure out what that is. But it's a big difference. What kind of wills do you have? Do you have pour-over wills? Do you have regular wills? Do you have a probatable estate? Is there going to be probate? Is there stuff you forgot to put in the trust? What about your IRAs and 401ks? Who's the beneficiaries? Do your children know who the beneficiaries are? Because you might not be here. Your IRA, which you think is going to go to your wife, may wind up going to your children. Do they know that? Are they on there somewhere? I don't know. You know. Do you have real estate? Is the real estate in the trust? Are you sure? Do you have a business? Is the business in the trust? If it's a corporation, how's the stock titled? If it's a LLC, how are the shares titled? Don't you think you ought to know? What do your powers of attorney let your agent do? Is it a two-page statutory power of attorney? My power of attorney is 25 pages long. There's a reason it's 25 pages long, because you don't know what's going to happen. And I try to cover all the stuff that could happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Do your documents include long-term care language? Do they include frailty language? Do they allow someone to pick a home? Do they allow someone to hire a caregiver? Do they allow someone, and who is that? And what if that someone dies? Is there an alternate? And do you still want that alternate? Because your alternate is now a child that has a drug problem or has tax problems or has other problems. I don't know. Do you have an old-fashioned AB trust? Do you even know what that means? Are you sure you want that? I'm not going to tell you what that is. You go find out. But a lot of you have one. And it may not be the best thing. Who can get your confidential medical information? And this one's really important. Who can really make medical decisions for you? I mean really make medical decisions for you. Have you picked the right person? Or did you pick the oldest child? Just because you always pick the oldest child, I know. But who can stand blood and gore and making end-of-life decisions? Who's going to walk in the door and see mom having convulsions or complete delusions? And who's going to be able to deal with that? Is dad? Dad has dementia. What do you mean, dad? Why would it be? Well, because on mom's power of attorney, when they did it, they named dad. And dad now has dementia. Well, but he can't do it, I know. But you now have to go get letters from doctors saying dad's incompetent, or you have to have dad resign, but he can't resign because he's incompetent. So, as part of having the conversation, are the documents that you have up to date and are they going to work? You're asking somebody, you're going to take somebody's keys to their life away because they have dementia or they're ill? Do you have the tools? Do you have the right keys to run the car? Is there a conservator? You never want a conservator, but did you name a conservator? Well, I don't know. Well, don't you think you ought to know? Do your documents allow someone to deal with your digital world? Does your plan? Do any of your kids know your passwords? Do you do online banking? Do you have a Facebook page? Do you have a Gmail account? Do you have a Macy's account online? Who can deal with all your digital stuff? I don't know. But see, you have to know. I don't know is a terrible answer. It's a terrible answer. On Tuesday of this month, the 23rd, I'm going to be doing a webinar on all of this stuff. You probably ought to be there. It's free. And hopefully next month I'm actually going to be doing workshops in my office, folks. Again, I'm looking forward to that. But for this month, a webinar. It's free. You can go to my website, Assets and Aging. Assetsandaging.com. AssetsandAging.com. You can sign up for the webinar. You should be there. You should especially be there if your documents are more than 5 years old. You should especially be there if you don't know what they say. You should especially be there if someone's becoming more frail or more vulnerable. And family should come to the webinar. It's live. You get to see me. We talk. You can ask questions. You type them. Nobody will see your face. You don't have to have makeup on. Or you have your hair done. It's important that you understand what your options are and have you had a family conference. Finances, where is everything? Well, my kids know where everything is. Do they? Yeah, they know I have an account at Bank of America. Do they know what the account number is? I don't know. Do you do online banking? Yeah, I do online banking. Do they have the password to your online banking? No. So all they know is you have an account at Bank of America. So do you think they're just going to be able to walk into Bank of America and say, give us mom's money? Do you think that's going to work? Do you know there are banks now who will not take valid powers of attorney? Did you know that? It's true. Who can deal with your IRAs and 401ks? Well, why would they want to, Bob? Well, let me give you an example. Dad died. The beneficiary was mom. Mom's got dementia. Now what? What about savings bonds? I see those all the time. People have savings bonds. I had somebody come in the other day, decided that they thought they could take care of it themselves, found a whole bunch of savings bonds in which both the beneficiaries are dead. It's a lot of money, too. You got savings bonds? Have you planned for those? Do you have a safety deposit box? What's in it? Who has access to your safety deposit box? What about long-term care? Who can pick the facility? Well, what do you mean? Well, who can pick the facility? So, for instance, I'm not picking on Kaiser. Kaiser's perfectly fine. I'm using this as an example. If you go to Kaiser and they move you to a nursing home, they have a list of nursing homes you can pick that Kaiser works with. Okay, who can pick? Well, what do you mean, who can pick? Well, who would be authorized to pick what nursing home you're going to? Well, I can't. No, you can't. You had a stroke. You're not picking anything. So who can pick your nursing home? Who can pick your doctor? Who can pick your specialist? Who can read your? Who can get copies of your lab tests? Who can get copies of your medical records? Who can do all that? Have you talked about all this as a family? Have you? I don't know. You have to tell me. Are there medals? Are there guns? Guns have to be disposed of in a certain way after somebody dies. Are you familiar with that? Does somebody have the authority to do that? What about meds? Who can go down and refill your prescriptions? Who can call the doctor up and say, Doc, mom's out of her heart meds? Who are your documents all HIPAA compliant? And then there's more, and I mean, I'm just reading here at random off my little sample agenda for a family conference. And then, what about taxes? Who can do tax returns? What do you mean, who can do tax returns? Well, they know who my CPA is, I know. But understand, you die in February. Well, a tax return has to be done for last year. Who can do that? And then a closing tax return is going to have to be done for this year. And that one will be done sometime later. Who can do all that? Who can pay for it? Because who has access to your bank? What about your credit cards? Who can close them? Do they know what credit cards you have? I don't know. And then most of all, who can make care decisions for you? Who can manage your life? Who's going to have the keys to your life if you can no longer have the keys to your life? And have you had that conversation as a family? I'm just encouraging you to do it, and I can help. You can come in and see me. We can set it up remotely. I'm prepared to do all of that kind of stuff. You can get to my webinar on the 23rd at 6 o'clock. June 23rd, that's a Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the evening. You can call me. You can get me and we can review stuff. We can review your plan. We can review what your family has done. We can make sure that it not only allows for the, what happens when I'm dead? Well, I want to be buried at St. Mary's or whatever it is. Okay. But what if you don't die? What if you spend 5 years dying? Or 6 years dying? Or 2 years dying? What if you're competent? What if you're mostly competent? What if you're incompetent? Having the hard discussion with mom and dad is hard. Parents, please let your children in. Children, please get involved in your parents' lives. If something's wrong with me, if something's wrong with my wife, we don't want to hear that from a stranger. We want to hear it from the family members that we love. That's why we have these conferences on a regular basis and we talk about everything. 800-999-8007. If you've put this all on the back burner and you've listened to me for 20 years or 5 years, and you said, you know, someday I got to talk to this guy, it's time. Because no one, quite frankly, in my opinion, is more prepared to help you with this than I am. Not only because of life experience, but because I've just been doing this a long time, and there's probably nothing you can bring me that I haven't seen. Or you can trust an unknown with this. You can go to the Yellow Pages, you can go to Google, and you can find somebody with, you know, nice words, but not much life experience. One of the things you get with me is I've been down this road for a while. As somebody once said, ain't my first rodeo. 800-999-8007. Or go to my website, assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com. Get to my webinar, sign up to come and see me, ask me a question, you can email me questions, you can call me and we can arrange a time to get together. But make sure you're doing it today. I know everybody thinks they have tomorrow. I'm here to tell you that for 35 years, I've been sitting with families who didn't have tomorrow. They thought they did, but they didn't. 50,000 people have died in care homes in the United States. All people who thought everything was going to be fine until it wasn't. Life has this notorious habit of pivoting on us and smacking us across the face. It's part of being alive. And aging is a part of that process. You can pretend it's not going to happen to you or to your mom or to your Grammy or to your grampy or to whoever it is, but I'm telling you it's going to happen. Whether it's today, tomorrow, or a year from now, it will happen. Has your family had the hard discussion? Have you had the hard discussion with mom and dad? Mom and dad, have you had the hard discussion with your children? I can help. I can facilitate it. I can make sure you have the tools to deal with that and that your family has the tools to deal with you in the best way possible as you go through the aging process. As you become less capable, I want to make sure that the people you love are fully capable of taking care of you and making wise decisions for you and making sure that as you age and as you become more frail, that what you wanted to have happen and what makes you comfortable and what has the best result for your family's life and for you is what everybody does and gets. Take advantage of me while I'm here. Take advantage of my experience while I'm here. You're listening to California's single best source on the issues of aging. Take advantage of it today. 800-999-8007. Assets and aging.com and my free webinar on Tuesday, June the 23rd at 6 o'clock. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and sign up. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for listening to this important subject. We'll see you again next week. Follow me on Facebook. Follow my podcast every Wednesday. Go to assetsandaging.com. Sign up for the workshop, the webinar on the 23rd. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope you have a great day and a great week, and you and your family enjoy all the blessings that we have together. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.